What is up, Bison fans, and welcome back to the Bison Report Radio Podcast, brought to you by Gateway Chevrolet. I am your host and the publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uggelman. Joining me in the home studio is none other than Blake Angerbretson. Blake, how are you?
Doing all right. Been sick the last couple weeks, but if there's any time to get sick during ball season,
it's the bye week.
It's the bye week.
Absolutely.
So we're clearing it out, if you know what I mean, and getting back to it. Get back to the dome. Let's go.
Absolutely. A homecoming weekend, a conference opening weekend, a conference home opener weekend. What a weekend it is. And bring in not, you know, something that you don't do all the time. Bringing in a team that beat NDSU last year. It's not often. You know, when you win as many games as they do in the Valley, that you're looking for quote-unquote revenge, and I don't know necessarily that they're looking for revenge, but I will tell you, Coach Polasek has made darn clear what happened in Vermillion last year with this group. Doesn't matter to what degree they are favored. I know TP's got those guys absolutely ready to rock as it pertains to not taking this team lightly, and again, considering what happened in the last 4 minutes of that game last year.
Yeah, as a... It's one of those games where, as a reporter, you write your story, or you kind of have your outline for it, and then you just got to go whoosh, and delete the whole thing. It's like, okay. And obviously they responded. I don't know if that was a good wake-up call for them because of the timing of the year. You know, it was the finale of the season.
You go ahead. But, yeah, it's funny. That game, I forget it even happened sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you think about beating South Dakota State again, you think about beating Montana State in Frisco. It's like, oh yeah, you remember that game in Vermillion? You know, and it just is like just part of the season.
Yeah, and if you remember, I mean, there was a 20-play, 99-yard drive that took like damn near 10 minutes. And they came, Bauman just went right down the field twice.
Yep.
And he's an interesting one, Aiden Bauman is, because he's, in the last 8 years, there's only been two opposing quarterbacks to win inside the dome, and he's one of them. So I don't think the noise, because it's going to be a sellout, or at least pretty dang close. I don't think that part's going to get to him. A couple of players I talked to that said this kind of the same thing. So we'll have to find other ways to get to him and pressure him, but he's kind of the one guy back, really, for them last year of that game that contributed to that comeback.
Yeah. That's something that I had a chance to speak to Jay Elson coming into this one. It's massive roster turnover. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's dive into the news real quick. The championship game is January 5th. I assume that is a Monday?
It is.
Yes,
it is.
January 5th, Monday at 6:30 p.m. on ESPN. That game, of course, moved to Nashville, as I believe stadium renovations are happening in Frisco. I'm not 100% sure, but the game itself is in Nashville, Tennessee, I believe at Vanderbilt Stadium. Should be a really fun time. I know a lot of Bison fans had a good time in their trip down to Nashville when the Bison had a chance to play Tennessee State. Scoping out some top-notch places to eat and perhaps have a beverage down there, perhaps in Nashville, Tennessee. Pro Bison was a fun week for Pro Bison. Carson Wentz gets his first start as a Viking. You see some of the pictures of Carson in the Metrodome, you know, as a kid watching the games, and I thought he played really well. It's a very quarterback-friendly system. And him and O'Connell, I thought worked really well. Obviously, the Vikings defense helped him out a lot. And you know, facing the opposing team, having a backup quarterback in was certainly helpful. But for what was asked of him, I thought he really answered the bell.
Yeah, he was efficient. I didn't really watch the second half because why
would you?
but yeah, he was efficient, decisive. Other than he took a couple sacks, which he kind of does when he wants to extend plays. But unlike Colts Carson Wentz, he held on to the ball and didn't throw with his left hand or whatever, but
trying to make a play, baby.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out, for him and the McCarthy deal. But like you said, did what he was asked and did a good job.
hate to see the season-ending knee injury for Cody Mauch. I thought that Tampa team was a contender. They still might be, but, I mean, they're just losing guys left and right. Like, Wirfs isn't even back. Gedeki is hurt. Now Cody's hurt. That offensive line that has to try to protect Baker so that he can get the ball to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Emeka Buka and hand it off to Bucky Irving. At some point, you can't just have replacement-level offensive linemen, and I'm worried about Tampa and the whole Cody thing stinks, as frankly, if we ever talked about it, but Cordell, same thing. I mean, Cordell, I believe, was released, but that was based on a season-ending shoulder injury too. So Cordell unavailable for this season, Cody unavailable for this season, not what you are looking for. Three FBS head coaches fired. Mike Gundy, I'm a man, I'm 40. I was in college when he did that rant. I mean, we yelled, "I'm a man," at each other, "I'm 40," for that entire semester. Like, it's a, outside of like practice and like, it's one of the most iconic, basically Allen Iverson saying practice and Jim Mora saying playoffs. And then honestly, then it's Mike Gundy saying, "I'm a man, I'm 40, come after me." Absolutely legendary quote, absolutely legendary press conference guy, and honestly was successful there, man. They had some dudes, Dez Bryant, obviously, Justin Blackman, Brandon Whedon. They had some high-level quarterback play there, even if it's like maybe not NFL stuff, but that wide-open offense, I mean, that's stuff that Oklahoma State, if they didn't pioneer it, they were certainly one of the early teams doing the spread. A lot of people will give a lot of credit of that to Texas Tech and Mike Leach. But, boy, Gundy spread you out long before, or not necessarily before, but, I mean, they were doing this before it became popular, before it became the norm in college football. They were running, they were gunning. I don't know if people up here realize that, like, he played quarterback for that team. That was his alma mater. That was his team. And that's always tough. Right. I mean, that's like, it'd be like if Easton Stick was the head coach of the Bison in 10 years, then 20 years after that, you have to fire Easton Stick. Like, it's not a joyous occasion. It's not fun. It's not screw this guy, get him out of town, blah, blah, blah. It stinks. I mean, Mike Gundy was Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State was Mike Gundy. That kind of stuff stinks.
Yeah, it's interesting how, like, midseason, you know, you feel like maybe he would have. This would have been an end of the season type of deal, maybe. I heard a, and this is just, maybe it's a rumor, maybe it was true, I don't know. It's just what you see on Twitter. But asked if he wanted to retire, and it was basically no. So I don't know. I don't know the truth of that or anything. But, and yeah, they've been struggling, right? I mean, they beat South Dakota State in the opener last year, and I think ever since, they just haven't been good. So... And his buyout, I believe, was $15 million, which isn't, like, crazy, but it's not cheap. Not that a buyout is ever cheap. But the UCLA coach, I'm blanking on his name, Sean Foster, and then Brent Pry from VodTech, I don't even think their buyouts combined to $15 million. So it's a little, you know, and now people talk about with Billy Napier, Luke Fickell, okay, if they don't figure things out, their buyouts are a lot steeper than that. So did you wait it out? You know, do you do what Oklahoma State just did and say, you know, pull the cord? I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do.
I personally think it's crazy Oklahoma State didn't let him finish the season.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. But it doesn't matter. They've got donors that they're trying to satisfy, I'm sure. This, that, and the third, I don't know. That's crazy to me. The Fickell one's interesting. He's got a massive buyout. And then, of course, the NDSU interest in that is would Wisconsin native Tim Polasek at least interview? I think you'd have to. Would they be interested? I don't know. He's only been the coach here for a year. And you know, it's a premier job still. Like, they got the top G5 coach, period, at the time. Like, Fick, that was a universally loved hire when Wisconsin got Fickell. Universally loved. I can't remember bad press about that hire. Wisconsin can go get just about any Power 4 coordinator they want and just about any G5 head coach they want. I think, my personal opinion. Like, they're at that level. I think Tim Polasek is a dynamite coach. I think he would be an excellent coach for the University of Wisconsin. I just don't know if the timing is lining up correctly or not.
Yeah, and the thing, like, so Craig Bohl moved up, but it was to a group of five at the time. Matt Entz, now kind of the same deal. Thing with Klieman, though, he had Gene, right? I don't think there's any connection to the AD at Wisconsin, is there? I mean, not that I'm aware of. So, and he also had 5 years. Klieman did when he left.
Yeah.
Polasek.
Multiple championships, yeah.
He's in 1.25 year.
So. Tim has a lot more Power 5 and FBS experience than Klieman did, because Klieman came from the Division III level, then worked at UNI, then worked at North Dakota State. And, I mean, Polasek has been to NIU. Polasek has been to Iowa. Polasek has been to
Wyoming.
I don't know. We're not going to spend the entire show on this. I just put a pin in it, note it. Speaking of not going to spend the entire show on this, that SEMO game was a long time ago. Cole Payton, the third most passing yards in a game ever, 348 yards. There were scouts present. I think he's really interesting as a pro prospect. I like him as a tight end. He's sticking in my eye. He's like, he doesn't care what I think. He's trying to show everybody that he's a legitimate quarterback. And I think from an athletic perspective, he's unbelievable. I think, there's a number of different things, man, that you could do with him at the NFL level. And not that necessarily every single scout was there to see Cole Payton, or whoever was there to see Cole Payton. But boy, that was an impressive display.
Yeah, it was the Steelers and Packers were the two teams representing there. So
good programs. Lots of championships.
Indeed. Kind of like the Tommy Mellott thing, maybe. You know, different body types a little bit,
right,
of course. But
Cole Payton, the pass rusher.
Yes, put on the end.
Yeah.
He took advantage. I mean, they played, like Polasek said, down defense. So, you know, they're loading that thing up.
Yeah.
And he's just launching it downfield. If you want to play man coverage on Bryce Lance, I'll throw it over his head 50 yards. Please, any day.
I know.
And
they got after it, man.
Yeah, and he didn't miss.
Defense allowing just one big play. That was the broken coverage. They only allowed 152 yards outside of that. And then through three games, the offense is fifth in the country in scoring, fifth in the country in yards per game, and ninth in rushing offense. The defense is first in total defense and pass defense, and is second in scoring defense. So those are extremely impressive numbers.
5.7 points per game allowed. That's good.
That is quite.
Okay. Said to be sure.
You wrote thoughts on jerseys. Whose thoughts do you want?
Yours. I want your thoughts. Because I already know your thoughts. I just want to hear you say it again.
Yeah. So for me, I would not, and I get, good God knows where they have come to this conclusion, or how they got to this place. But so cornflower is at least, I think, what NDSU or what Nike would call our yellow. And then there's Vegas gold, which is the shiny gold that they chose for the stickers, the shiny gold that they chose for the Wheat Shock, the shiny gold that they chose for the numbers. I don't like Vegas gold with cornflower. I think it clashes, the gold and the yellow. I think it clashes. I also, from our position in the press box, and then for Sam Niederman and anybody else calling that football game, I would have been memorizing wristbands and skin tones and towels and gloves, because the numbers, no chance. No chance from where where we were standing, and I felt bad for Jack Michaels. You can't read the numbers from up high, and so up close they're gorgeous, even with the like yellow and gold clashing. From far away they're tough. From a from a broadcaster standpoint for sure. And I just wish they would have picked yellow or gold. And I think the cool thing to do would have been to pick gold because it's different and it's new and it's whatever. I just thought it was tough.
Yeah, I'm with you because I went down on the field before the game. I'm like, oh,
these up close, they're an 8 out of 10 or a 9 out of 10. Yes, 100%.
Walking up to the breast row and I'm like, who is that? I'm like, oh, okay.
Thank God the quarterback throws left-handed. Easy to figure it out.
Yeah, from my understanding, they're not going to wear the all-golds. That's just not going to happen. Somebody important does not like them, from my understanding. We'll see. We'll see if that happens in the future. But
I've been trying.
I don't know. I don't hate them, but some others don't. But no, I wouldn't mind if they wore those again, but you need a pretty good spotter with 20/20 vision up there if you're going to not have any issues for your radio, TV, and PA guys, so... F in the chat for them. But as far as this week though, in the press release, you know, found out they're wearing all green. All greens this week. I'm a fan of those.
The old cold green, The old
cold green and the harvest helmets. It's gonna be a full crowd, homecoming. The whole crowd's gonna be decked out in the cold greens, so I think they'll a little more traditional look, which I think people will appreciate as well.
Let's dive into USD. Chris Harris, questionable. Ray James, the backup Sam linebacker in a sling. Homecoming, you're going to get a weird kickoff time. You're going to get the parade. You're going to get a lot of people there. You're going to get the Bison Athletic Hall of Fame ceremony. Craig Dahl, Alan Burrell, and Joe Chapman among those going in. Some people know. Bragging, none of this matters. But that, like, I have a personal relationship with Gene Taylor. He better be the next call. If Joe Chapman is going in the Hall of Fame, it is time for Gene Taylor to go in the Hall of Fame. You don't go D1 without Joe Chapman. You don't go D1 without Gene Taylor. They put Craig Bowl in. They're putting Joe Chapman in. I don't care that Gene Taylor is a sitting athletic director somewhere else. It is time.
It's time.
And I'm whatever, you can call me biased, you can call me this, that, or the other. I don't care. With where we were at North Dakota State in 1998, 1999, and 2000, you look at where men's basketball was, you look at where football was, you look at just where NDSU was, and then you look at where they are now. And you won a March Madness game. You've hosted College Game Day twice. You won 10 FCS national championships. You've gone, you've gone to the college baseball playoffs. You've gone to the college softball playoffs. You've won how many track titles? I could go. You've had Peyton Otterdahl in the Olympics. I can keep going. How many guys do you see on an NFL screen that went to North Dakota State? And yes, Phil Hansen and Tyrone Braxton and Chad Stark and, you know, Steve Nelson did those things before. There's 20 guys on rosters now. Like, you can't talk about that without talking about Joe Chapman, who I'm glad they're honoring, Craig Bowl. You can't do it without Gene Taylor. And I don't know why this just became a Gene Taylor detour, but yeah. I'm sorry. I had to get it off my chest.
Of the guys going in, obviously, I'm a little young to remember the days of Craig Dahl.
I'm not. And I love Burrell, too. He was fun. They ran track, too, him and Marcus Johnson.
I don't believe Burrell. Did he have a post-collegiate anything?
Indoor football, yeah. Okay. He was like an arena league guy. Dude, he was fast. He was fun. Him and Marcus were fun.
But Craig Dahl, I mean, he was in the league for 10 years, 9 years, whatever.
Was Super Bowl champion. Blew out his ACL, but he's a member of the 07 Giants.
Yeah, it's funny, Polisic was saying about him and, Nick Schomer back in the day.
Yeah. Schomer was a Tennessee Titan. He was a good player, too.
He was. And that's what I think he was like, Willie McGart, you know, and Polisic's raspiness. These two together are as good as, I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'll take your word for that.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't get to go to championships, but, like, they're right there with Dempsey Grimsley and Dudzik Eagle. Like, my opinion, Schomer Dahl are right there with Dudzik Eagle and with Grimsley, Dempsey, from a safety duo standpoint. They're there, I think. Goodness gracious. So, little, yeah, they lost the homecoming game in 2023 to these guys, melted down in Vermillion. Now, obviously a part of that is made to be okay by destroying them in the 2023 playoffs and, of course, winning the national championship last year. With that said, you're going to lose 3 years in a row to the same school? I think that's got to be front of mind, obviously.
Yeah, there's other things too. Like, they're 21.5-point favorites, which,
yeah,
I mean, that's about what I expected, and that's about what my prediction will be. But after they got gashed by the portal, new head coach, new everything, they're really just not playing very well.
Yeah.
And then if you lose a third one, man, that would hurt a lot more, in my opinion, than either of the last two losses, one this year. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. But where each team is sitting right now, I mean, yeah, last year was kind of a stick in the side. So was the USD one. But this one would be just a knife in the gut and twist it until you know.
Yeah.
So maybe a little more pressure, but I would say less concern maybe than the last year.
And I tell you what, you know, I think they probably went through some highs and lows just in the offseason, in the sense that Jimmy takes the Washington State job, guts South Dakota State. They've got Aiden Bauman coming back. They're thinking things are pretty good. They've made it to the semifinals for the first time ever. They made it to the semifinals for the first time ever. They have, you know, beaten NDSU now 2 years in a row. Like, they're probably able to see the light at the end of the tunnel, at least the light at the end of their tunnel, what they're trying to accomplish. And then you lose Bob, obviously. You know, Bob Nielsen leaves. Travis Johansson is promoted. New O-card coordinator, new defensive coordinator. But they lose Grace. They lose Shahid Barros, who's one of my favorite players. They lose Bryant. They lose three offensive linemen. And you lose Carter Bell, you lose Travis Tice, you lose Lombard. I mean, their squad leaves basically. Like, and it's there's no shortage of comparisons between what happened there and what happened with South Dakota State. But South Dakota State was all one coach taking a bunch of guys to one place. This was just our coaches gone and we're taking quote unquote better opportunities elsewhere, whether it's NIL money, starting position at a Power 5 school, starting position at a G5 school, whatever. You had guys kind of moving up and moving on.
Yeah, kind of scattered all over the place.
They did.
I think, you know, Kentucky, Iowa, Syracuse.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt, wherever. And then, right, like they promote from what? SDSU didn't technically promote from within, but they did. You know, it's kind of like the Polisec hire. It's external, but it's internal. Well, it doesn't seem to, I mean, I know we talked about this the one time recently, but there's just a different developmental factor with the school a little bit north of them and then in Fargo compared to them.
Yeah.
It just, SDSU doesn't seem overly phased right now, and that's a credit to them, but they're doing okay, I guess. I mean, they're not the worst team in FCS or anything like that, but certainly not where they want to be right now. You know, two pretty not good, like not that they were expecting to beat Iowa State, but to lose by 50, a bad road loss, barely beating a really bad Big Sky team, and then a pretty whatever win against a Pioneer League team. Probably just not where you want to be at this point, I would assume.
Yeah. Right, you mentioned the 0-2 start. Then they beat Northern Colorado. Then they really play well against Drake. And I understand all the caveats, right? No scholarships, all that. I get it. But they look better. And I had a chance to talk to Jay Olson about that. You lose Charles Pierre for the season. First team, I think potentially even first team All-American for sure first team preseason All Valley, like no question about that. LJ Phillips, who is a bowling ball of a human, is that like 130 yards per game with basically not playing the first two games? Yeah. Like his numbers are just absolutely crazy, and he's going to test NDSU from a tackling perspective.
It kind of, I shouldn't say it reminds me because I wasn't at the game, but the Shenderick Powell Central Arkansas game from a couple years ago.
Sure.
He just plowed people over, and everyone's concerned about the tackling.
Yeah.
This year's team is tackling much, much better.
I agree.
But nonetheless, bringing a guy of that mass to the ground will not be easy. And I don't know how they're going to defend that, because you sell it on the run. Well, you can't really do that against a six-year quarterback who's won in this building. But, hey, 300 yards in a game is 300 yards. And they're going to have their hands full. So it'll be interesting to see what Gio cooks up this weekend.
Aiden Bauman, vet. I talked a little bit about the Brock Purdy conversation. Are you the tractor or are you the trailer? Are you pulling your offense or is your offense pulling you? I don't know that I'm necessarily ready to make that comparison, but you lose the number of guys that he did, and then you see his numbers drop to where they are. First team all league quarterback, you lose Gronowski out of South Dakota State, you lose Cam Miller out of NDSU. All of a sudden, he's the face of the league. Things haven't been going quite as well.
No, I mean, just looking at, 51% completion? Throwing four picks already? That ain't it.
No.
And you can say, oh, well, Iowa State, whatever. He played well last week, but the other 2 weeks, I mean, if you're
playing, it's still just FCS competition, yeah.
Yeah, yep. So I do think, you know, he's got the external variables, the crowd noise, the whole that. That probably won't bother him a whole lot.
Beaten NDSU before. It's not like it's scary to him.
Yeah.
Yep.
But as far as what he's got around him now, like you said, Carter Bell's gone. Quarren Adams is gone. Travis Tice and Charles Pierre are now, well, gone. So is Galbraith.
Yep.
So, like you said, I mean, he's got guys like maybe they can lean on Phillips. They're, I forget what number he is. One receiver. Fenner is his last name. Big play guy, though. Kind of a slot guy. I don't really see him play. I don't know if he's a Raylan Sharp kind of whatever. But some big playability.
Yards per catch is high.
It is high. So that's something to keep an eye on for the secondary, who, again, needs more challenges. And with a vet quarterback, I think they'll get that this week. I think they'll get that this week again.
Defensively, they've been all right. 19 points a game against FCS opponents. Caden Crawford from Iowa, Mikey Munn. Crawford's got six TFLs, so that's good. And Munn already has three picks this year. Obviously, they've lost Shiggy Barros, like I said. Miles Harden is long gone, playing with the Cleveland Browns. And then Bryant, obviously, their best linebacker from a year ago, is gone. But they've been serviceable, like you said, 19 points a game. Prediction time, though. I think that for some frustration gets let out. I think USD might be able to get out of the mud, you know, at 2-3 at 1.012. I think you might have like 41-17. I think NDSU rolls in this one. There's a gap there in the quality of the teams, but then just the fact that they have lost to these guys twice, the fact that it is homecoming, and I think there's a point to be made, and they're going to make that point. The only thing that would scare you would be the 225-pound running back breaking a bunch of tackles. But they're tackling better, and that's why I could see it going that way.
Yeah, just the way this defensive unit is playing, I don't see it. I mean, if Simo, that's as good as it's going to get. One big play, you might get some. One drive that gets extended over a, should have been 3 points, ends up being seven. That's about it. They can keep Phillips locked down, which these linebackers are pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't think the offense can put up a 50-burger. No, they could. They could. Don't get me wrong, but 21.5-point favorite. I'm taking the hook, but 31-10 is what I'm going to go with.
All right. You heard it here first. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you to our sponsors at Gateway Chevrolet. Have a wonderful homecoming weekend, and go Bison.